My Bible, it is the Word of God. I am what it says I am. Oh, hallelujah. There's life in the house this morning. Praise the Lord. Welcome to church. All right, let's pray for the Word. Please pray for me that I'm able to preach the way God has intended for today. Let's pray together for the Word. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the preaching of the Word this morning. Lord, I submit myself. I pray that you'd use my vocal cords. I pray that you put words into my mouth, even those I haven't prepared. Holy Spirit of God, we pray that you'd speak to us. We pray for revelation knowledge. We pray for understanding. We pray for insight this morning. Come, Holy Spirit of God, and just have your way. Father, we bless you and we honor you today. Great is thy faithfulness. Father, we bless you. We open up our hearts to you today. We pray that, Lord, you'd speak to us even as you have intended. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And if everybody said, great. It's awesome to have you again this morning. I'm very grateful to the Lord for this opportunity to share again the Word of God. Now, if you're joining us for the first time, we've been going through a series titled Managing Life in a Chaotic World. This world is chaotic. This world is upside down. When you look around, you see things are not really working because that's how this world is designed. It's a fallen world. And because it is fallen, the course of nature says everything must degenerate. That is why you look at your body today, it's not as strong as it was last year. Yeah? That is why we need external intervention from outside the system that is not working. That is why we are called to pray. The Bible says, if my people who are called by my name shall pray, something happens when we call upon God to intervene. And that is why we need to know how to manage life in this chaotic world. The Bible says, though you are in the world, but you are not of the world. What that means is that I cannot run away from this world, but I cannot be of this world. So the way you deal with situations in your life is different because you are not from here. You are a passing by, you are going by, and we are preparing eternity in this short blip of life. Have you thought about it that God has given you 70, 80 years to prepare for eternity? It tells you of how important your life is. Because what you do in the 80 years of your life, or 90 years, or 100 years, will determine eternity. Therefore, we cannot just live life anyhow. We must live life by design and not by default. We must live by a plan. There must be a plan in what we do. That is why we are talking about managing life in a chaotic world. Last week we began to deal with the issue of what to consider before tying the knot, where we looked at God's pattern and progression towards a godly marriage. And I'm glad you came back to church. I was wondering, are you coming back to church? And praise the Lord, we're here in church today. We say there is a progression towards a godly marriage, and we say it is a three-part progression. Number one, you have to leave. Number two, you have to cleave. And number three, hallelujah, somebody was listening. Thank God that wasn't a waste. At least one person caught it. You leave, you cleave, and you become one flesh. Now, when it comes to romantic relationships, everyone is consumed by looking for Mr. Right. We are concerned about finding Mrs. Right. Isn't it? We all look at, is this the right person to get involved with? Is this the right one to look to get married to? But this morning, I want to make a proposal. Instead of being consumed with looking for Mr. or Mrs. Right, you must be consumed by being Mr. Right. By being Mrs. Right. Work on yourself to become marriage material. Before you say, he is not marriage material, are you marriage material? Come on now. We are quick to pick. That one is not marriage material. But hey, where him? Where now? Are you fit for purpose? So this comes down to preparing yourself for marriage. Many people get into marriages ill-prepared, resulting in either two immature people coming together or one of them being immature. And I can tell you now, when you are married to an immature person, it's going to be a rocky ride. It's going to be difficult. To the unmarried, you have an opportunity to work on your readiness before you get married. To the married, you have an opportunity to work on yourself to become more complete. Because your wife wants a complete husband. Your husband needs a complete wife. The problem is when you come half-baked. Who has ever eaten a half-baked cookie? It's not nice. It's slimy. But when it is properly cooked, you enjoy it. Now, this morning, I want to finish off this topic before tying the knot, part two, by looking at a few more principles to consider during this phase of your life. I'll take you through two main principles. All right? Two main principles. Let me give them to you blow by blow. Number one, we're going to be talking about how to prepare yourself for marriage. All right? If you are married already, we can still fix this. Come on, guys. It's not too late. You visit a doctor. Visit your pastor. We can fix this. It's not too late. How to prepare yourself for marriage. If you are not, you are blessed. Because you are being taught how to prepare. Number two, how to choose a spouse. I'm going to tell you, he has to be tall. He has to be buff. He has to be smooth with his words. He has to drive a brand new Be My Wife vehicle, BMW. You guys have missed that one. BMW, Be My Wife, Break My Windows, Be My Witness, whatever it is. Now, let's look at this. So firstly, how do you prepare yourself for marriage? Number one, pursue personal wholeness before tying the knot. That comes without, you know, a lot of pomp, but you've got to be whole. You've got to be complete by yourself. If you are not complete before you get married, you will not be complete after you get married. Does somebody hear me today? You see, your husband-to-be is not going to complete you, but they're going to compliment you. There is a difference between being completed and being complimented. In other words, they'll make you a better person. You see, this issue of being whole is a lifelong pursuit, and it is arrived at in stages. You know, our complete wholeness will happen the day Jesus comes and takes us to heaven, when our bodies are transformed into that immortal body. Therefore, this wholeness process is a process. The truth is that marriage is not for immature people. Marriage is not for babas. I'm going to repeat that. Marriage is not for the faint-hearted. It's not for the abantwana. It's for amdala. It's for people who are mature, people who know where they're going. It's people who understand who they are. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11, when I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I set aside childish ways. Hallelujah. This morning, you've got to know that there is a way that a child behaves, and it's acceptable because they're a baby. But when you have an old person behaving like a baba, we have a problem. That person is not ready for marriage. For any marriage to work, there is a need for both parties to have attained a level of maturity. And I want to ask you a question today. Where are you? I talked like a child. There are people that you listen to, and you look at them, they look like a child on the outside, but what's coming out of them, it's of a mature person. So you might look young on the outside, but your soul is mature because of how you talk, how you reason, and the opposite is true. Now, personal holiness needs to happen in two dimensions in your life. Two dimensions. Dimension number one, you need to attain spiritual maturity. Attain spiritual maturity. A healthy marriage is made up of two complete and secure people. And as a child of God, I want you to know that a complete and secure person has their identity fully rooted in Jesus Christ. And I want to ask you a question today. Do you feel that your identity is rooted in Jesus? Or your identity is rooted in the way you look, the school you went to, the neighborhood you come from, the look of your bank account? Because sometimes we don't feel too good because the account isn't looking good. A mature person is complete even if the account does not look good. Does somebody hear me this morning? This mature person spiritually knows that Jesus is his ultimate source of satisfaction, because true satisfaction comes from Jesus. Now, the Bible says in John 6, verse 35, Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst." When you are rooted in Jesus, you know that he is enough. Sometimes we feel incomplete because you've been rejected by a boyfriend. You've been rejected by a girlfriend. The proposal hasn't gone through. You feel incomplete and you are depressed. But I want you to know Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst." It's not about who is around you. It's about who is inside of you. When you are with Jesus, you are secure. Psalms 107 verse 9, the Bible says, "For he satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things." If you give me that slide. "For he satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things." This is what Jesus does. And my question to us this morning is, do we find satisfaction in Jesus? Put this down. In your pre-married years, develop your own personal, deep, and meaningful relationship with Jesus. You've got to get to that place where your relationship with Jesus is so strong that winds can come, storms can come, you remain standing. Because I can tell you, when you enter into that marriage, there will be storms, there will be hurricanes, there will be disappointments. What are you going to do? If you cannot stand by yourself in Jesus by yourself, how are you going to stand when you have to look after another? They will bring their own storms. They'll bring their own issues. And you need to be there for them. You see, a spiritually immature person will expect their spouse to meet a need that only Jesus can meet. And this is a major cause of tension in marriages, where you look for your wife to meet a need only Jesus can meet. So you are expecting your husband to be a mini Jesus, and they are not a Jesus, and you get disappointed. When you are married and you are a mature person, you will know there are some things where I need to go on my knees. and pray. There are some things I need to get into the Word of God to find answers. He might not be able to explain to you why there isn't enough money in the house, yet he's working very hard. It is in those moments that you go to your knees and you talk to Jesus. And Jesus says, I am your more than enough. Hallelujah. This is very important. Now, I want you to realize that the whole issue of spiritual maturity also has to do with you understanding that you don't live anyhow. Your life is not by chance. It's by design. You are a person on a mission. And I want to ask you this morning as you consider to say yes to that man, are you a woman on a mission? Do you know what God has called you to do? Young man, you want to go and propose, do you know what God has called you to do? Because God said to Adam, I will find you a helper suitable for you. You see, a helper is needed if you are doing something that needs help. Very, very important. Are you a person on a mission? Maturity in the walk with the Lord will bring you to a place where you seek first the kingdom. And all these other things shall be added to you. It is in the process of you seeking God's kingdom that a spouse is added to you. Now, can I say, if you are busy with your own stuff, you might not get the proper spouse. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. When you are faithful in pursuing kingdom issues, God will be faithful to give you a kingdom wife. A kingdom husband. Very, very important. Number two, develop a healthy character. So we said, spiritually, you've got to be mature. You've got to have a discipline on praying by yourself, reading the word by yourself, fasting by yourself, going to evangelism by yourself. If you cannot do those things, there's a level of immaturity spiritually. Maybe you need to work on that. Number two, develop a healthy character. I want to say to you, the more refined your character is before tying the knot, the better it is. The reality is many people struggle with lust. They struggle with anger. They struggle with jealousy. And these are issues you need to work on in order to be ready for marriage. Do you have a busy eye, gentlemen? That is always on the lookout. If you cannot control that eye before you are married, you're going to be having fights with your wife. She'll be telling you, why were you looking at her like that? Like, do you want me to walk blind? No, she sees that that way you look at her was not an innocent look. You've got to deal with it. If you have a problem with anger, now you are fighting with your boss, you are fighting with your siblings, deal with it. Because when you are married, this woman, this man is going to be with you 24/7. And fights will happen and he will make you angry. You have fits of rage. Deal with it now before you say, I do. Because I don't want to be called to your house when you have thrown a pen at your husband. Like, Mama, what happened? I was so angry. And the closest thing I saw was this pot. Like, violence. We forbid it in Jesus' name. But this thing was there. You knew it. You saw it, how you broke your sister's cell phone. You threw it out of the car. And you think it's going to stop? Because you're now married? No, it's not going to stop. None of these issues will vanish because you are married. In fact, they will be exposed more in marriage. I've come to realize that God is very smart. He created this thing called marriage as a sanctifying tool. When you are married, every weakness you have is exposed. You can lie to everybody, but not to this one. As a pastor, sometimes I preach here and she looks at me like, I know you. And then we go home, she's like, yeah, that's what you were saying, eh? But this is not what you're doing. I'm like, no, I had to preach that word. It was for them. The moment you do that, it doesn't work. The power is not there. The glory is not present. Hallelujah. So your wife, your husband is a sanctifying tool to prepare you for heaven. They will make you right, ready for heaven, because they will expose you, they will tell you, they will nudge you every night before you sleep. Let's deal with this issue. That's the beauty about marriage. Now, the Bible says in Ephesians 4, verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, I beseech you that you walk worthy of the calling with which you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Work on yourself, work on your character, so that your walk is worthy of your calling of being a child of God. You're not doing it for the other, you're doing it for yourself. You realize you've got a short fuse. You realize that you quickly become jealous. Deal with it. Let the Holy Spirit work a work in you, so that when the time comes, you won't be jealous. You won't be looking at your husband's phone all the time. Hope you're like, what has he been? Who has he been talking to? Who is this one? Like, this is a work colleague. What is it? You're struggling with jealousy. Be secure in yourself. If he's yours, he's yours. He's not going to go anywhere. Glory be to God. Amen. Number 3. Preparing yourself for marriage. Build strong relationships with people of the same sex. Before you are married, build strong relationships with people of the same sex. Let me tell you something. Cleaving to a girlfriend or a boyfriend prematurely will block out any possibility of developing other deeper relationships. High schoolers, you know what I'm talking about. The moment a guy gets connected to a girl at school, they spend break time with that girl, lunch time with that girl, after sports with that girl, on the phone with that girl. When are you going to develop meaningful relationships with other boys? And I always tell my girl, like, a relationship is a tall order. It demands a lot on you. Why do you put yourself in a place where you have to start giving account to a girl at 14, at 16? You didn't phone me last night. Why should I phone you? I was asleep last night. Come on now, am I talking to somebody here? These are the issues. It's a time to develop deeper relationship with them boys. Where you are secure with the boys. Where they challenge you to behave appropriately. It's the right time to develop stronger relationship with the girls. Learn to pray together. Don't tell me I am busy doing Bible study with my boyfriend at grade 11. What Bible study are you doing with a boyfriend? Come on now. So instead of wasting your time with the opposite sex and trying to control how you behave, and you end up taking steroids to develop muscles because you want these girls to be impressed. No, don't waste your time on that. The time is coming. These girls won't run away. In fact, the girls become more beautiful when they're in university. In high school, you're not seeing the real thing. Am I talking the truth, guys? I can tell you now, when somebody told me about my wife back in the days, they showed me a matric picture of my wife. I'm like, okay. Okay. I was thinking twice. Why? Because she was in this funny uniform. And she wasn't looking the greatest. But when I saw her, I drooled. I'm like, wow, this is it. Heaven has come down. I'm talking about right now you're wasting your time. You're not seeing the real deal. Take your time. Am I preaching good? So you see, you'll need this relationship. When you get married without strong relationship with your own boys, you'll need more effort to develop the relationship when you are married. Because you're spending now more time with your wife or with your husband. It is very, very important, guys, to consider these type of relationships. Number four, protect the opposite sex from yourself. I'm talking about getting ready for marriage. Protect the opposite sex from yourself. Now, you need to understand how the opposite sex operates and what draws their attention. For instance, the ladies are drawn by what they hear. Where the words go, so follows the emotions. So the ladies are drawn by what they hear. And the gentlemen on the other side are drawn by what they see. What they see. It doesn't matter what they hear. It's what they see. Now, no wonder why sometimes, like, dude, why did you go there? It's because he saw. It's not about what he heard. He saw something that drove him towards a certain conclusion. Now, a gentleman will protect the opposite sex by avoiding flirtatious words. By avoiding these nice borderline words that leave the girls confused. Like, what did she mean? What did he mean? What did he mean? Maybe. She doesn't sleep that night. Maybe. Let me hear tomorrow. You throw another word tomorrow morning when you walk into class. Like, maybe. The Bible says in Ephesians 5 verse 4, nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. Obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking. These are loaded words, loaded terms. And gentlemen, we need to be careful the words that we speak. And you know what? Over time, if you are a guy who flirts a lot, where you throw hints and you don't mean them, the girls will know over time, like, ah, that one does that all the time. And they'll never take you seriously. It tarnishes your image. Especially if you're a child of God, you want to preach the gospel, and they see you as a flirter. The problem. Ladies. The ladies will protect the gents by dressing modestly. In other words, do not expose the skin that is only preserved for your husband. Hallelujah. It's like people have just left the church. Like, Pastor, you are okay, but now, you're missing the mark. How many of us have got cell phones here? Cell phones, you've got your phones. Praise the Lord. How many of us have got screen protectors on their phones? Okay, praise the Lord. How many of us have got cell phone covers? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Whatever is valuable, you cover. Hey, Tazwana. Are you guys laughing? Whatever is valuable, you cover. I was watching the Women's Soccer World Cup. And there was one particular lady from Morocco. She's Islamic by religion background. She was cladded from top to bottom. She still had the uniform on, but she had these tights that covered her head down, covered her thighs, covered all the way down, covered all the way here. Like, wow, how awesome. This lady was taught This part here is only reserved for your husband. Nobody else can see it. This part here is reserved for your husband. Nobody else can see it. Let's leave it there. Hallelujah. I'm sure you get the point. Let's move on to the next segment of our teaching. Before I lose you here, I still want to be friends with you after church. Praise the Lord. I was very comfortable talking about men, but them ladies, not easy. Let's talk about the second aspect, choosing right. Okay? I'm just rushing because I've got so much to share with you. Let's talk about how do you go about choosing right. And I'm going to give you a model from Genesis chapter 24. It's quite a long chapter, but I'm not going to read it, but you can go and cross-reference. I'll give you verses. The background of the story is Isaac was in the region of 40 years old, and his father was of age, Abraham. And Abraham then said, "My son is ready for marriage, but I'm located in Canaan, a place where there are pagans and non-believers. I'm not going to allow my son to get married to any of these women, but I'm going to go back home where are my people located and people of the same religion and beliefs." Therefore, he made an arrangement with his senior servant, and the Bible does not say who it is, but I believe it's Eliezer. He told Eliezer to go back to Haran, to the place, it's called the city of Nahor. It was named after the brother of Abraham. Now, I want you to understand something, that this model of choosing a partner is right up in the heart of God. And he's calling us to consider it. So let's look through this portion of scriptures as we explore how to choose the partner. You see, the choice of a spouse is the most important choice you will ever make, other than the choice of following Jesus. Why? Marriage is forever. That is the plan of God. Till death do us part. And this can be a long time. Till death do us part. You see, the stakes are just too high because you don't have a second chance at the step. Now you are married, you say, "I do," you realize, it's not what I wanted. What are we going to do? Okay, till death do us part. Till death do us part. He likes cookies. I'm going to put something in the cookies. Till death do us part. He dies. He goes, "I'm free." No, you are not free. You're a prisoner to self. The stakes are just too high because you won't get a second chance. You want to be in that place where if somebody speaks to you, JT, and say, "JT, if you have a second chance, who would you pick?" One has to be able to say, "Ntsako, that one is the one." I've got to be able to say, "Fazai is the one. I'll look for her in the haystack. I'll go through all the girls. I'm like, there's one particular one I'm looking for." Why? Because she's the one. Now, I want you to understand this morning, it is possible to choose right. Why? You should look to God for guidance as you go through the process. That is why you should spend some time in prayer. You need to spend some time in prayer before you even get to the time of considering a life partner. The reason I say start praying before time, it is because when time is time, emotions can easily take over. That is why I said you need to attain a level of spiritual maturity, because a mature believer hears God about many things. God speaks to you about your character. God speaks to you about giving. God speaks to you about reaching people for Jesus. God speaks to you to wake you up to pray in the night. Then when it comes to choosing a spouse, the same God will speak to you in the same way. Do not expect God to start speaking concerning a spouse if he hasn't spoken concerning your prayer life. Does somebody hear me this morning? This is so important for us to be attuned spiritually. So don't then come to me and say, Pastor, I heard the Lord. He showed me that He is the one. But you've never come to me and say, Pastor, I've heard the Lord that I must give so much towards the work of the ministry. What type of a God only speaks to you concerning a wife and hasn't spoken to you about coming to church on time? Hello? Let's move on. So, number one, when it comes to choosing a spouse, you need to understand that there is a time to find a spouse. And this is a question that I hear. Pastor, when is the time? How do I know it is the time? Young people, there is a time. Isaac was around 40 years old when the father perceived maturity in his boy. Last week we spoke about there is a progression. You need to be able to be in a position to live before you cleave. You've got to cleave before you become one flesh. And the trigger point we said last week was, if you are not ready to leave mama and papa, you are not ready to cleave to another. And you can go listen to last week as to what determines your readiness to leave. Are you financially ready? Are you spiritually ready? Are you emotionally ready? Okay? My kids were like, ah, Daddy, you were talking about, do you have enough money to buy undergarments? Oh, yes. If you cannot sustain yourself, just you, Jay, as an individual, don't think of sustaining another. So there's a time. Number two, you've got to choose a believing spouse. This is a biggie. Abraham was strict in telling his servant to go find a wife only from his homeland and religion. The principle is that a Christian should only consider marrying another Christian. Let me say this to you. This thing of missionary dating does not work. Where you come to me and I ask you, is this guy saved? Like, no, Pastor, but we are working on it. What are you working on? To save him. You are now Jesus. I can tell you now that young man will get saved. Not because of Jesus, but because of you. The day that you say, I do, you say, I was never into it anyway. He gets it. He will tell you, I was never into it anyway. It was for you. Now that we are here, I mean, my life goes on. Missionary dating does not work. So Abraham said to Eliezer, not here. None of these women are ready. None of these women can be a helper to my son. You go back home. And you find a wife for my son. 2 Corinthians 6 verse 14, the Bible says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership can righteousness have with wickedness? Or what fellowship does light have with darkness? You know, this is a place where a lot of people compromise. I remember when I was in Cape Town, I was a youth pastor there. One lady comes, say, Pastor, I have found the one. I'm like, who? She told me. I'm like, no, but this guy is not saved. Like, no, Pastor, he's cool. Our relationship soured because of that. I was not in agreement. They went ahead, they got married. But after a couple of years, they divorced. You cannot go back to somebody and say, I told you. You cry with them. You pray for them. You give them counsel. But there are certain pains that you don't have to go through, saints. You can correct it before you say, I do. If this girl is not born again, she is not meet for you. Back off. Because it's about value alignment. I want you to understand this morning that if your values are not aligned, It will mess up with your calling and your ministry and your relationship with Jesus. You get married to a non-believer, he doesn't understand a thing about prayer. When your child is sick, he understands Sangoma language. He will take that kid to a Sangoma. And when you're like, Pastor, I don't know what to do. This is what he's doing. You got married to him. So if you know that somebody is not born again, that's a red flag that says, it's a no-no, don't touch. Allow him to go on his own journey. If he meets up with Jesus, great, then maybe you'll come together. But if he's not, you see, the enemy will try and deceive church girls to say, the church does not have enough men. Look at our church. It's girls, kuphela. Am I going to get married to a girl? No, you're not going to get married to a girl, but God is faithful. God will make a way for you. Wait on the Lord, I say, wait on him. Does somebody hear me this morning? I'm teaching you stuff that will save you a whole lot of pain into the future, young people. Hallelujah. Now, value alignment, how you raise your kids. If he's not a Christian, there's a problem there. Let's look at number 3. When you're on the journey of looking for a spouse, you found somebody, there will be a testimony in both hearts about the possible union. Don't hold a gun on the head of somebody like, God told me that you are my wife. No, the same God who spoke to you will speak to her. The Bible says here in verse 7, Abraham told Eliezer, and he said, the God who called me, the God who spoke to me and gave me this land, will send his angel to go before you, and he will make your path prosperous. I want you to understand that when God is involved, God will make sure that there's a testimony in both hearts. You might find that at some point there is no testimony, but as you wait on the Lord, there will come a point where there is an understanding and a sense of what God is doing. If it's not there, do not force it. Wait on God. Let God do it for you. Glory be to God. Do not be hasty. Whenever your spirit man is not at rest, you see, whenever you don't feel at peace, you're seeing this girl and you don't have a testimony in your heart, but in the natural, everything seems aligned, but your heart is not at peace, wait. Take your time. Glory be to God. You know, the whole issue of taking your time, the young man who connected me with my wife in 2003 has not been married. He's 41, 42, thereabout. But in the month of May, this past month of May, I'm talking about God coming and doing things. This friend of mine is in Canada now. He's been in Canada for 4 or 5 years. So, in the month of May, I'm not going to give you details, but what happened in the month of May, he met a girl. Proposed. Paid lobola end of May. June. 27th of July, white wedding in the UK. 2 months. They're in the Canada right now. Of course, everybody says, "Woo, Kaiser, you're too rushing. You're like, yo, don't do that." But if they feel God is in it, they feel God has done it. They're both seasoned Christians, and they've been serving the Lord for all the time that they've been in the Lord. What do you do? I'm saying when God wants to do something, the Bible says he will restore to you the years that you have lost. Never feel out of time to go outside of God's plan for your life. Stick it out. The God of heaven will work it out for you. Glory be to God. Here is my friend. 2 months. God gave him a wife. I'm not saying God do it. Don't try it at home unless God is involved. Don't try this at home. All right. So I'm talking about there's a testimony in both hearts. are the green signs you're looking for as you go on this journey. Number four, remain prayerful right through the process. So you've been praying, ne? Now you are in that zone. You are in that zone where you feel like, things are just lining up here. Remain prayerful. Abraham 7 arrived in the land of Mesopotamia, and he went straight to the well. The Bible says he went to the well that was outside the city. This was the likeliest of places of finding them ladies. Guys, you have to be where the ladies are. I'll be honest with you. You have to be where the men are in order to find. So this guy did not go to the fields where the boys were catching stuff. No, there you would find boys. Go to the well, you'll find them girls there. So he was there. So when he had settled down his camels, the Bible says in Genesis 24 verse 12, and he said, O Jehovah, the God of my master Abraham, I pray you, send me good speed this day and show kindness to my master Abraham. There he was waiting, but prayerfully. People of God, please hear me good. Pray, pray, pray. I remember when I was in my honors year in 2003, when I started feeling like, I think I'm getting closer now to the zone. I had a friend of mine, Pastor Muzi, he once preached here, he's in Swaziland. We used to pray and fast every Tuesday for our spouse. We fasted, not for salvation, but for a spouse from the Lord. That whole year, 2003, we upped the tempo in prayer. And I want to say to you, marriage is that important. You've got to pray before you jump. When you pray, the Lord will start leading you. The Lord will start guiding you. When you pray, the Lord will cause you to be on the same mission trip to Mamelodi with this girl. When you pray, the Lord will put you in the same group when you go for a young adult camp. When you pray, the Lord will put you in the same worship team. Come on now, you hear where I'm going with this. When you pray, the Lord will just cause you to meet and be in the same environment. That is what prayer does. That is what prayer does. Number five. When it comes to choosing, look for character and not just outside appearances. The reason why I have the word there, not just, is because attraction matters. You've got to be attracted to this person because you're going to be with them for the rest of your life. If you are not attracted, you keep on looking across. Looking across. They must have what you look for. Your children. I am saying this morning, it must go beyond outside appearances, because at the age of 45, the appearance is different from when you were 25. So if you are only driven by appearance, you will reject them at 45. You see, marriage goes beyond looks. Marriage is about character. So look for character. So Abraham's servant, Eliezer, put in place a test of character. He said to himself, Lord, as these ladies come, I'm going to request them for water. May the one who agrees to give me water as well as my camels be the one you have selected for my master's. That's a test of character. Lord, the one who will agree to give me water, and not just me, but even to my camels, may she be the one. People of God, it works wonders to be nice. Guys, just be a nice dude. Come on, be likable. Ladies, be likable. Be approachable. People must know, like, that one, you can't even approach her. So Rebecca came. The Bible says even before he had finished making this request in his heart, Rebecca came. Here is a beautiful lady. The Bible says as she was getting water, Eliezer said, "Would you mind helping me with water?" If it was one of the girls today, what makes you think me should give you water? Do I look like your wife? Don't we talk like that? Do I look like your wife? No, the guy is just asking for water. That's all, nothing more. Okay? The girl says, "Oh, well, I'll give you some water, but I will also water your camels." I want you to see something here. This was no walk in the park. It was walk in the park giving Eliezer water. But watering the camels, I did a research when I was doing this. A thirsty camel will drink 200 liters of water in 3 minutes. 200 liters of water in 3 minutes. And here there were 10. 10 of them. In other words, Rebecca had to get almost 2,000 liters. Don't tell me this girl is lazy. And the Bible says Eliezer was watching this girl. Could it be? Could it be I've won a jackpot here? Just look at how she's working tirelessly until all the camels were watered. You've got to see this girl in the context of her normal environment. You've got to see this man in the context of his normal environment, working, doing things, not even thinking of impressing you, but they're busy serving the Lord. And there you see their character, that this person does not give up. This person is faithful. They committed to be an usher, and they've been coming faithfully. They committed to be in a cell group. They come every Thursday. Now, if this girl comes once every 6 months, there is something wrong there. You are seeing character. Does somebody hear me this morning? Hallelujah. Because of time, I'm going to jump a number of things. I'm going to go to number 8. If you can go to point number 8. So the other points I had here was, so after the character, you're happy with it, you got to make your intentions known, all right? Number 7, don't go at it alone. Involve key people, right? And then number 8, which I want to just close off with today, is when dating, how far is far? I'm sure some of you came today because you wanted to get this answer. You did well by coming. Now, I've received many questions in this regard. Young people really want to know, and they're genuine, shame. That's what we say, oh, shame. They really want to know, how far is far? But instead of asking, "Pastor, how far should I go?" you must ask, "How safe should I be? How safe should I be?" Now, let me say to you, the Bible has no gray zones. When it comes to becoming one flesh, and that is where, when they ask you, "How far do I go?" it's going towards there. Like, right? The Bible has no gray areas regarding how far one should go. Biblically, becoming one, consummating, having sex is exclusively for married people, between a man and a woman. And I want to emphasize that, because the devil has brought about variations of marriage where same-sex people come together and they get married. That's not what God is talking about. Becoming one is between a woman and a man. Very, very important. When two men come together, it's not becoming one, it's something else. And it's important that as a church, we have that understanding. Whatever those people are doing, it's not what God has destined for marriage. Does somebody hear me this morning? So, I want you to understand that when it comes to this whole issue, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 18, flee sexual immorality. It did not say manage it. You know how it is? We try and manage this thing. No, it's not about management. Baleka, run with dear life from this thing. Ephesians 5 verse 3. Let there not be even a hint of sexual immorality amongst us. Saints, don't say the pastor hasn't spoken. Well, that's what the Bible says. Now, it's so important you stay safe. You know, there are dangerous hours of being just the two of you at your house. 12, midnight, going beyond. Guys, let's watch it. Okay? Another way to stay safe, it's important for you to know how to treat, because people are like, how far should I go? You know, let me give you the answer. 1 Timothy 5, verse 1. The Bible says, treat younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters. With what? Absolute purity. This means that you touch your girlfriend the same way you touch your sister. Hallelujah. You touch your boyfriend the same way you touch your brother. You kiss your boyfriend the same way you'd kiss your brother. Come on now. Have I given you the answer? Treat young men as your brothers. Treat young women as your sisters. So you ask me, Pastor, what about deep kisses and French kisses? Can you do that with your brother? If you can do it, please go ahead. Be my guest. Okay, guys, I've spoken. I've given you the answer. Treat young women as sisters. If you cannot put your hand in certain places for your sister, then don't do it for your girlfriend. Yeah? If you can't put your hand somewhere for your brother, then don't do it for your boyfriend. It's as clear as that. Hallelujah. Amen. Come, let's clap our hands to the Lord.